From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fourth day of June 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We'll check in on some of the research that the University of Illinois is doing on cover crops as it relates to the termination of those crops like cereal rye, and what the timing of that termination means for insect populations in the following corn or soybean crop. We'll do that with entomologist Nick Sider. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the cash grain situation with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net. And in between, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather. He's in Chicago. And we'll do all of that on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, corn futures finished higher for the day. July contract up a nickel at $3.29. December there at $3.42 3/4, 4.5 higher. And March corn at $3.55, up 4.5 cents. July soybeans 10.25 higher at $8.67 3/4. November at $8.76 3/4, up 10.5. And January beans up 11 cents for 2021. They finished at $8.81.5. The bean oil futures at $27.82, down 4 cents on the afternoon, and the bean meal futures at $2.89.80, up $3.50. Wheat futures, July contract soft red up 11.75, $5.23 3/4 the settlement price. The hard red July at $4.72 1/4, up 14.5 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago settled the June up 27.5 cents at $95.72 1/2. The August at $97.92 1/2, up 57.5. And feeder cattle for the day up 50 cents at $134.72 1/2. Lean hogs at $48.42 1/2, 22.5 cents lower on the afternoon. The crude oil about 14 cents a barrel higher. Ethanol futures up 3.8 cents of a cent, and heating oil or diesel fuel a penny higher for the afternoon. Gasoline on the Arbob at $1.14 9/10. That's the wholesale price, is up 3 cents. Now, Dan Zwicker joins us from Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, Dan, thanks for being with us.
You're more than welcome, Todd.
It was kind of an up day in Chicago. Why was that the case?
I think we just got a little bit of everything. Good news. Demand is slowly improving. The shorts are covering. Probably one of the biggest reasons is dollar weakness. That is, if that continues, that's going to be a supportive factor to commodities. We've already seen the gold market kind of go on a tear in precious metals. And I think the ag commodities are just kind of starting to catch up. Everybody's been kind of selling into them based upon overall supplies. But with the dollar weakness and nobody really knows for sure why markets do what they do. It's only an educated guess. I'm thinking the money that's being printed to float out this current economic crisis that we're in, I think just has the traders looking for not necessarily what I would call inflation like we experienced in the 70s, but it's going to be a currency devaluation. It's just going to take more currency to buy whatever you were buying. And if there's anything that I've noticed, what little bit shopping I've done, either the stuff is at rock bottom prices or it's just sky high. And that's part of the supply chain trying to get it straightened out or reorganized to the new normal, if we have such a thing as a new normal. But I think what we're seeing here is commodities now are going to try to, I think, reflect all of the expectations of the devaluation of the currency through printing of more money, government deficit spending, and there's a whole list of issues why people think that the government is going to print. And I think that's starting to be reflected in commodities. And when you look at the chart on corn, soybeans today, you got to be impressed. We have been in that sideways to higher trend since that April low was posted. And I think the last time I talked to you, we were maybe getting set up for at least a correction or a period of consolidation. And I think I said I was hoping it was going to be more of a consolidation, and that's what it was, because we started resuming the upside right away this week. And now today kind of puts a cap on it. And we are now in the month of June. We are in the first week of June. This is normal seasonal price strength during June, July. I think the listening audience has probably heard me many times talk about, you know, about 50% of your highs in November soybeans and December corn are kind of made between mid-June and mid-July. And that's kind of the time window that is kind of critical in an aspect, is if we get a widespread Corn Belt rain that kind of marches across the Corn Belt, it kind of seals the deal on the corn crop, and then it gives the bean crop life for another month. I think we're still wanting to kind of see if that happens. But seasonally, this is a period of strength in here. But, you know, anytime after middle June, you kind of got to look after, you know, after your right shoulder or left shoulder, whatever way you want to look, for something to maybe come in. But, you know, we do have some weather issues around the Corn Belt. Nothing really big, maybe in the wheat market. When you combine maybe a smaller U.S. wheat crop with maybe a smaller world wheat crop, you got a little ammunition there. But all in all, I think technically we're in good shape to continue this advance out of our April lows. Now, like I said, once we get into mid-June, first part of July, we'll have to see how high is, how much this market can go between now and then. And then, of course, we got to look at the weather pattern. But my overall cyclical work still wants to kind of take this market higher into late summer, early fall. Now, that's not going to be a steady up. There's going to be some ups and downs in it. But I just think we got so bearish back in that March, April timeframe. And now with all of the dollars that's being printed, we're seeing weakness in the dollar. That's going to be reflected in higher commodity values. And I think that's probably one of the key factors, what's going on in the ag commodities right now.
So I looked at the charts just before we came on, and I have a question, a different view about the weekly continuation chart, lead option July, all right, for corn at the moment. And it has been trending higher since it made its low. But I looked at it and thought, dang, I don't like the way it looks, because it appears that the breakout could be to the downside. And you're telling me that's not the case. So I'm wondering.
Well, if you're looking at a weekly July chart.
Well, the lead option July, but yes, continuation.
Well, I would say the biggest fear we have when you look at a weekly chart is that this could be kind of a flag type formation to go lower on.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
But I mean, you could read it that way, but. The positive thing is that it's coming off of some deeply oversold conditions, so we got a ways to go on the weekly chart before it becomes overbought. Then you look at it on a daily chart, you know, it kind of looks like we are trying to break out of a sideways pattern that kind of began when we made our low back in mid-April. And then we had a quick rally back. We're right up against that high point. So we are at the point here, if we could go higher here tomorrow or early next week, I would consider it kind of a breakout of this sideways trend that we've been in since mid-April. So that would be almost a two-month breakout. But, yeah, when you look at the weekly chart, you could see you could visualize maybe a flag formation to go lower on if you wanted to get all bared up. But I think it's a little early in the season to do that. But there's a possibility of that. There's no doubt about that. I kind of read it more of a slow climb. Markets climb the wall of fear. And there is no doubt about it. We got a lot of fear out there.
Indeed, we do. Hey, we'll talk more about it during Commodity Week this afternoon. By the way, we have Patrick DeHaan on today from Gas Buddy. So those who are familiar with using that app, and there might be some of the folks that are listening that are not involved in agriculture that might find what he has to say of interest. He's their primary economist, so it'll be interesting to have him on along with you, and we'll have a good time during that program. I'll talk to you about...
Yeah, I got a good question for him. Why Wisconsin had such cheap gasoline here about a month ago compared to the rest of the country? So that's going to be my question.
Well, we'll see if he can answer it. Hey, thank you so much, and we'll talk with you later this afternoon, Dan.
Okay. Take care.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. You know, here on the U of I campus, researchers are exploring how cover crops impact insect populations in field crops. Now, cover crops are gaining popularity with farmers across the United States. And these off-season plantings can improve soils, reduce erosion, and keep nutrients in place. They may also provide a good habitat for overwintering and migrating insect populations. University of Illinois Extension entomologist Nick Sider is exploring if this is the case and what impact it could have on the following field crop. He offers this example.
What we've seen so far suggests that the risk of insect damage to soybean following cereal rye is relatively minor, which maybe isn't all that surprising when you consider that soybean and rye are not that closely related. Where we probably have more of an impact, you know, more of a potential risk of insect damage is where we're going to have corn following cereal rye, where you have a grass following a grass. Or if for some reason you had soybean following a legume, like a clover, which we don't have a lot of that particular practice going on in Illinois. But that's where you would expect to potentially have an issue.
And Sider and his student researchers are doing insect surveys across the state to quantify the field-level population differences between cover crop rotations and conventional rotations. He says they are also checking to see if the termination timing of the cover crop makes a difference later in the growing season.
What we probably want to try to avoid is a situation where the cover crop is dying right as those soybean or corn plants are in their most vulnerable stage, in the seedling stage. So we're looking at that effect of termination timing, both in corn and starting over the next couple of years in soybean, to develop some management recommendations.
Nick Sider says the goal is to keep the insect populations present in a cover crop from adversely impacting the following cash crop.
What we're really trying to do with this is to make sure we get our management recommendations right so that we don't cause a problem by trying to solve other problems with erosion, with nutrient reduction runoff, some of these great benefits that we can get from cover crops.
The kind of great cover crop benefits that the research at Illinois is helping farmers to deploy. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Thursday, let's check the weather forecast with Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us. We got rained on a couple of times here at my home last night in Champaign County, and I saw from around the county a 2-inch, a 3-inch, and a 5-inch number, though I think those were all pretty localized numbers. Maybe we should just look ahead to what the weather looks like coming up for the next week or so.
Yeah, that sounds great, because exactly what you just said, even though some areas did get a lot of rain last night, it wasn't widespread throughout the Corn Belt. So that only affected a small number of counties in proportion to where all corn and soybeans are produced in the U.S. But as we move forward, we'll see more of what we saw last night, which is where some pockets of heavier rain will develop here and there within the Corn Belt. This is all because of the muggy air mass that we have in place. And on top of that, we have some waves of energy that are rolling through. Those tend to interact late in the day and in the evening when the temperatures are the warmest. And that's why you start to see some of these heavy rain clusters later in the day and then overnight. So we'll see that for a couple more days. Once we get into the weekend, that's where things start to change a little bit. At that point in time, we'll be watching a couple of different things. Number one, we have Tropical Storm Cristobal off to the south. That is moving northward and will make landfall in Louisiana on Sunday. This will be a strong tropical storm, but we're not expecting a severe hurricane or anything like that. It's just way too early in the year for something like that to happen because water temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico are very warm. Well, that system is going to shift to the north early next week and then combine with a cool front that's approaching Illinois from the west. And these will all merge in some fashion over the course of Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday coming up, and that will bring a lot of rain to corn and soybeans. So by the time we get a week from now, we think that most areas will have seen 3/4 inch to 1.5 inches of rain across a pretty widespread area. So that takes us now into the middle of June, and everybody will be looking okay from a soil moisture standpoint. Temperatures later next week and next weekend will be much, much cooler than where they have been. But that cool period is not going to last because we'll move back into a milder regime in about 10 to 14 days from now. With that warmer weather, a few storm systems will move across, develop some thunderstorms here or there. It's hard to say exactly where it's going to rain that far into the future. But the point is that there's a lot of time before we have to get worried about a lot of different things, just with rain coming up over the next 5 days, then some coolness, and then a mix of weather after that.
What other things are you watching here in the United States or around the planet?
Well, probably the big one is what's happening out in Russia and Ukraine. It's going to turn a lot warmer there over the next 5 to 7 days. It's a bit unclear how long that warmth will last, but they will be a lot warmer than they have been. Now, normally we'd be a little bit concerned about that because corn, sunflowers, and winter wheat are all starting to move forward in their development phases, especially winter wheat, which is now heading and filling. But the reason we're not overly concerned about it is because they've been dumped on by rains over the last 30 days. And on top of that, it's been very cool. So think about it if you lived in Kansas or Oklahoma at this time of the year. If you had just been dumped on by a lot of rain and a lot of cool weather, and then all of a sudden it was warm or hot for a week or so, it wouldn't be all that alarming just because you're looking at wet conditions to start. And that's kind of the situation we have there at the moment.
Anything else?
Just watching some rains in southern Brazil. There's been a drought there pretty much all growing season for second planted corn, which is now going to be harvested over the next 4 to 6 weeks. And just like things tend to work out sometimes, they've been dry for most of the growing season, and now here comes the wet weather pattern just as harvest begins. So we think that corn harvesting is going to slow in southern Brazil going forward.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds great.
That's Mike Tenuri. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain situation. Matt Bennett is here. He's with AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. How did the farming go over the last week, Matt?
Well, you know, we did a fair amount of replant. There's a lot of replant going on in this part of the world this week. And I know that several people got rain last night. We had a half inch at my house, but east of me, maybe a mile or two, we had an inch. So spotty rain once again, a lot going on. But, you know, that May 11th through 14th planting date right after Mother's Day, well, that wasn't a good week to plant corn for a lot of us. And so due to, you know, spotty stands, it's certainly caused for a fair amount of activity here this week. Not only planting, but shoot, there's been a lot of hay get put up this week too. We finally got a week with some heat and some air moving.
Yeah, I know my son was out bucking bales yesterday. We had 2 inches at my home last night, and I saw in Champaign County, I think as much as 5 inches, at least in a couple of spaces, though that rainfall, as you said, was pretty spotty and not very widespread across any portion of the Corn Belt. It's been warm, and then when you turn your attention to the markets, looks like things are heating up there too. Why are corn and soybeans and wheat all higher today?
Yeah, the thing is that you keep hearing about the Chinese are going to quit purchasing, you know, U.S. products, but then or at least halt for the time being, and then you see, you know, a flash sale here and there, and then you see, you know, some of the rhetoric coming actually out of China that says actually that's not right. I mean, there's a lot of confusion in here, and I think, you know, ultimately, a couple of things are going on, in my opinion. the dollar continues to go down. I mean, the dollar's down another, it's down 53 points right now. We're down at 96.7. This is the lowest we've been since before coronavirus. The dollar's been breaking. Real's been rallying. And I think that people are looking up saying, holy smokes, you know, we may be getting back into being real competitive on this export market. And I think you're going to see a lot of this saber rattling from U.S. and China. It's going to go away pretty quick on the Chinese side of things if the dollar continues to drop.
Yeah. So what are you telling producers as they give you a call? And what are they asking about most often?
Oh, gosh. You know, the thing that they're asking is, when are we going to see the seasonal rally? Because typically, you know, right in now is when we can get some sort of a rally. But I will say this is a very precarious, very volatile time. We know that demand's been hurt somewhat. Fortunately, you see ethanol continue to ramp up. We're just telling producers, you know, make sure you know exactly what your sale means to you. Because if you sell too much now and then you can't raise a crop, and this dollar continues to drop, you know, and the Chinese come in and buy a bunch of corn and beans, you're going to be wishing that you wouldn't have sold as much. So I want to be able to manage risk, whether I'm buying or selling. I want to know what this means to my bottom line, because making a marketing mistake in a year like this could be really tough.
And finally, I want to take up something that happened yesterday in the U.S. Court of Appeals, just from the farmer perspective. The Ninth Circuit issued a decision vacating the registration for three dicamba herbicides. These would include from Bayer, BASF, and Corteva. That takes, I think, most of them out of the running. I'm wondering how much of a problem this will be for farmers. Should that make it illegal to apply this product to somewhat, I think, 60 million acres of soybeans across the Midwest this year?
Oh, yeah, that would be catastrophic, is about all I can say. You know, whenever a lot of producers, for instance, have bought the herbicide that spray their own, I mean, that puts them in a tough spot. You know, with all of the beans that we've bought as producers that are dicamba resistant, this really puts everyone in a tough position. So I certainly know that there's a lot of phone calls being made today, a lot of frustration. I don't know what to say about it other than the fact that if this sticks, this is going to be a really long summer for a lot of people.
I know. I checked with Aaron Hager earlier in the day. He's waiting for some more news on what impact it will have. So we'll just have to wait and see whether the phone calls are answered and what the regulators tell people about the use of dicamba, but it could be a messy weed season across the whole of the Midwest. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Todd.
You're welcome. That's Matt Bennett. He's with AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. He joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Remember, you can always find our agricultural programming to listen to anytime you'd like. You can do that on our website at willag.org, willag.org. There you can just click and play. The opening market report, the closing market report, and a commodity week. We'll record that this afternoon. Our guest, special guest that is today, is Patrick DeHaan. He's with Gas Buddy out of Chicago, Illinois. You may use that application to check out the cheapest gas prices in your area. We'll discuss gasoline usage and demand and what that means for ethanol with him. And we'll take a look at the marketplace. Commodity Week up on our website by about 6 o'clock this evening.